What's up, folks? Thanks for making great choices and listening to Choice Us. I'm your host, Christine Choi. Please remember to subscribe on iTunes so you never miss an episode, and also don't forget to rate and review. You can find Choice Us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, Radio Public, and, of course, Audioboom. Make sure to email me at choiceuspodcast@gmail.com with any questions and feedback, as well as letters or voice memos for the advice segment. I would like to introduce to you my guest today, my amazing friend, Lisa Nunes.
Hey!
Hi, Lisa! How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. Yeah, so Lisa is talking to me from Hermosa Beach area?
Close by. I'm in Rancho Palos Verdes.
LA County, right?
Yes, LA area.
There we go. Okay, well, let's start with how we met. And let's just talk about our history, because I feel like there's real chapters of us knowing each other.
Yeah, I do agree with that. There's definitely been chapters.
Yeah.
But I mean, how we met was Chili's.
Yes.
You know, good old Chili's Bar and Grill, which I still have like a super guilty pleasure for.
Cajun chicken pasta.
Oh my God, I crave that and the queso like all the time.
Yeah, all day.
But yeah, I mean, that's how we met. I can't really remember, but I think I was a server maybe at the time that you came in, and you were a to-go person, or was I still a host?
We were both hosting.
We were both hosting. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I liked you. But I feel like I was honestly a little bit, not like mean to you, but, you know, a little hard on you. Honestly, I saw something in you that I was like, oh, this girl is either A, a threat, or B, like one of my best friends. And I didn't know how to like handle it, you know? No, that's like so totally funny. Being honest. I was like, I don't know.
I love that.
But it's funny because as time went on with us, we grew like way closer because that's the thing. Like that was the B thing. Like either A, you know, she's a threat, which you were still, even though we were friends, or B, she's going to be one of my closest friends.
And it was A, B.
It was both.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like I didn't like you for a certain reason or anything like that. I think I was just hard on people at that time in my life.
And then funny thing is we went to the same college.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know when we actually started being so close. I mean, I assume it's because we were kind of going through the same process with Rush and all that.
Yeah.
And we had so much to talk about.
And Rush was funny because we joined the two houses that were like pretty much rivals.
Yeah.
I had friends definitely in Alpha Phi, but for some reason there was some sort of rival.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, I knew a couple people who broke friendships because they like joined different houses.
No.
What? That's weird, you know? But like we still stayed friends and we were connected through that time.
Yeah, there was definitely a period of time we were really close. And then I think life kind of got different because I left Chili's.
I left Chili's when I was 19.
Did you? Okay, I was 20.
So that might have been around the same time.
Oh, true. For that.
Yeah.
And so we were working together, no longer. We were going to school together. I flunked out, so no longer. We were both in sororities, no longer, because I'm not, no longer in school.
Yeah.
So we just stopped seeing each other as much.
Yeah.
And so we definitely, safe to say, we became Facebook friends, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we were like cool with each other. There was never like falling out necessarily. No. It was just like.
Right. Not seeing each other everywhere.
Yeah.
Just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, exactly.
And then after, gosh, I mean, after years, what, we ran into each other probably and it was great, whatever. But I don't think we made too much conscious efforts to hang out.
Yeah.
And so in 2014, I decided to take a trip.
So like how many years?
A lot. Okay. So just for reference, we met in 2005.
Yeah.
I started in February.
Okay.
And so what, like 2007, 8 is kind of when we stopped hanging out as much.
Yeah, I guess you're right. 2008.
And then Yeah, until 2014, we were...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so we had pretty much stopped becoming regular friends.
Yeah, so we maybe saw each other a couple times between.
Yeah, in 2014, I decided to take a trip to Utah because I really wanted to go to Angel's Landing. And Lisa had moved out to Utah in...
December 2013.
Perfect. When I was taking the trip out there, I reached out to her and said, "Hey, I'm coming out to Utah. I'm going to hit up 3 national parks. A, would you like to come with me? And B, can I stay with you a night or two?" And the answer was yes.
Of course it was yes.
Yes. And then so we spent a few days together and had a grand old time. And it was like we never skipped a beat.
Yeah, that was honestly, I'm going to tell you, that was one of my greatest moments being in Utah. Like when I moved to Utah, first of all, I knew one person, actually, because that was the person who got me the job.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't know anyone. I'm not religious. Yeah. I swear, I drink, I smoke weed. Yeah. Like, I, you know, yeah. I'm one of those kind of people. So I kind of automatically knew I wouldn't fit in, and that was 100% the case. Yeah. When you called me and, like, were coming out there and wanted to do these things, like, I was dying for a friend to do this, you know, because this is the things I wanted to do.
I love it.
And I was doing things by myself, and they're not the same.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever told you, but it meant so much to me that, like, aww, you were coming out there and you reached out to me.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
you didn't have to do that.
Oh, but I did. Well, same thing with you putting me up.
I mean, obviously. That meant a lot to me. I was just like, damn, Christine Choi, like from so long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely like made my day when you did that. And aww, of course, the few days we spent together, I had a ton of fun.
I love that. So obviously, I had to go back to California.
Yeah.
But good news came. Lisa moved back to California.
Woo!
So that was very, very good news.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, rest is history. Now, I said rest is history, but something brought us together even more.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What is that?
Bachelor?
The Bachelor? How embarrassing is that?
I know, but...
but, like, awesome at the same time.
Yeah, so awesome. And I honestly don't even know how we discovered that we both love and watch.
I don't know. I think you're just randomly talking about it, and it just came about.
Yeah, and I was like, let's do Bachelor nights.
And we connected like that, and that was awesome.
Yeah. So now we watch Bachelor together via Skype.
Via Skype.
Or FaceTime, but same thing.
Because we did it for a couple years in person. Yes. Christine would come over every week and we would watch it and it was awesome.
Yes.
And then when she moved and when I moved, it's like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess it wouldn't have been able to stay there anyway. So this is the best scenario right now. So that's good. So, yeah. So we've been friends for a long time.
Yeah. And The Bachelor, like, brought us together in that sense. We saw each other, like, on a weekly basis, which is important for any relationship. I think that there definitely is something stronger that keeps
absolutely.
Us together. You're, like, my sister, for sure. I do feel like I could share, like, a lot with you that I don't necessarily share with a ton of people. You make me feel comfortable, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
And I mean, I hope you feel the same way about me.
I do.
You know, like
no judgment, you know?
Yeah, I just think that you've seen me in so many different, like, phases of my life that there's no, like, hiding.
Yeah.
Like, you know who I am.
I know who you are. Now let's talk about that most memorable or the funniest moment that you can remember with me. And I'll talk about one.
For some reason, every time I think of you, it's just honestly when we would get high on our breaks at Chili's.
How do you do that anyway?
I don't know. Like, I have no idea. For some reason, it was never caught, never exposed. Like, I don't know if that's because, like, everybody was getting high
probably
on their break, but, like, fully high.
Oh, yeah.
going back into work.
Well,
when it's like, oh, you have a 15, 30 minute break. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I honestly can't.
And so I just remember that because I think that's kind of like how we bonded when, in a way, like we discovered, oh, we both like weed. We should go smoke weed together. And then when you're like talking to somebody in a car, you're smoking weed in your car.
Exactly.
That's what
so deep.
We would do.
Yeah. Oh, those are really good days.
You became friends with that person.
Yeah.
We understood each other. I don't know.
Like, and those were also the days when weed wasn't crazy strong and I could actually smoke weed.
Yeah.
I no longer can smoke weed. So I haven't tried in a long time. Actually, it's, I would say, a good 8 years since I've been a smoker.
See, that's crazy.
I know. I never thought I'd quit.
Yeah. Neither did I. I think that it's good for other purposes. I think that, like, back in the day, like, I thought of weed differently than I think of.
Yeah, that's true. You know, a lot of people take it for anxiety or pain or whatever. But for me, it heightens all of those things.
Yeah.
So I used to get bad migraines and I used to get really bad backaches. And it made it worse. It never cured it. So for me, there are really very little positive effects of it.
Totally.
So I just stopped.
But you know that like how weed works now is way different than back then. Nowadays, there's so many different strands and what they do for you. And I'm not saying like, oh, you should go start smoking weed again. I'm just saying that like it's way different because I totally get you because there's certain strands that give me anxiety. So I don't do those. Like I'm not, I'm not into that.
Right.
But like there's certain strands that like relax me and.
We talk with Lisa Nunez. just kidding. Okay. So mine is a very simple, small snippet. You know, I wouldn't even have remembered it if I didn't take a Snapchat of it.
Okay.
But it was when we were driving through Utah and we were stopped by the gang of sheep crossing the road.
Oh my God, that was such a good moment. Oh my God.
That's already amazing. And then, oh man, was it beautiful, you know, because we had clouds and it was just green pastures. And I have a Snapchat going. And what Lisa says in the background is, yeah, it's just not cute when you're sitting there sweating balls. And it's just like, wait, this beautiful moment.
Okay, but we were talking about something.
Well, of course we were talking about
made
something.
Made me say that. I would just talk about
that. Well, yeah, of course. But it's just like, in that context, it was hilarious. And I was just, I guess I saved the snap. So I was like going through my saved snaps maybe like a few months ago. And I just saw that and I thought it was like the funniest thing ever.
So. That is funny. But we were sweating balls. Yeah. It was hot as fuck. It was like 100 degrees.
Yeah. So that was really funny. And it was like perfect. Okay. So let's get on to I changed the name of the game. It's now called What Would You Do? Like, What Would Jesus Do? But WWID. Actually, that's what it's called, WWID. I'm going to give you a scenario, and you're going to tell me what you would do.
Okay.
Okay, so you go on a blind date.
Okay.
And this person was introduced by somebody that you really, really respect and trust.
Okay.
You see him, and he has a baseball cap on with the Dodgers logo on it. What would you do?
I mean, of course, I'm a Giants fan, so that would immediately crush me. You know, I used to always joke about how, like, I would never date a Dodgers fan. It would never work out. It would never be a thing. But I think, obviously, I would go on the date and have fun. Being the person that I am, would probably challenge him on his, like, baseball knowledge and, like, why he's a Dodger fan. But, like, in a friendly way. It wouldn't be like, oh, my God, I hate you sort of way. Because that's who I am. I am a Giants fan. I will teach you about it. I would probably judge, like, how he handled the situation and if he was laughing it off and whatever. But I would trust that whoever set me up, if they were a trustworthy person, I would think that they would think that we would have a lot in common. So I would try to be nice to that fact, but I would definitely poke at the whole Dodger fan thing.
Yeah, good answer. from the last question I kind of wanted to ask. Your best friend's getting married, but you have the tickets to Game 7 of the World Series. Obviously, the Giants are playing.
Oh, man.
What would you do?
I mean, as hard as it would be to not go to Game 7 of the World Series, I would go to my best friend's wedding, for sure. Like, I would make her feel it, though. I'd be like, do you know what I gave up to be here? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't be that much of an asshole.
Oh, my God.
I would definitely 100% go to my best friend's wedding.
Maybe if the wedding was in whichever city they're playing in.
Oh, if I could make both, I would do that.
At least a part of the game. Yeah. Hey, that was funny. That was a good one.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the next game, 10-2. We will each give 5 random words, and we will both look at the list and come up with 1 story each. The stories don't have to have all 10 words. The stories don't have to have those words exactly, as long as you can clearly tell it inspired you, and it needs to be something that you can pull from your life. Okay. You go ahead with 5 words.
Okay. Beach, champagne, shoes, athlete, and celebrity.
Great words. You are like the first one who's given words that are not like just things around your room.
No, I really closed my eyes and like thought about it.
Oh, wow. That's a good idea. The first one I was going to say was computer.
Computer? Come on.
Because I'm looking at it. Okay, fine. Subway, shopping cart, battery, money, comedy. Oh, okay, I'm going to text those words to you right now so you have it right in front of you.
Okay, so I decided I needed to explore my personal celebrity. So I gathered some money and bought some champagne and went to the beach to gather my thoughts. And I felt like when I went to the beach, I had a shopping cart full of thoughts and memories and space that I needed for myself to recharge my battery and get back on that subway towards life and expanding my life. And along the way, I met somebody who gave me some comedic leeway into this new life that I thought for myself. That's all I got. I didn't use athlete or shoes.
It's okay. You don't have to. It was very poetic. I really liked it. Okay, so my turn. So this story is going to be about my move to New York. When I moved to New York, I wanted to make sure that I was going to still make money. So I talked to my bosses and all that so I could be kind of a little secure in my job for the time being while I build up my territory. And once I moved here, I realized that I really did miss being so close to the beach. But I discovered many places I can have champagne with my friends, and it was kind of all right. And it's been quite a journey so far trying to explore comedy and acting and just kind of a new journey on life. Yeah. Shoes, subway, shopping cart, boom!
How many words did you use?
I used like 6.
Dude, that's a hard game.
I know, but it's fun. Wasn't that fun?
Yeah, that was fun.
This was actually my most successful one.
That's great. Dude, that's a hard game. You definitely have to like expand your mind on like what you're thinking.
Yeah, but still so fun.
Yeah, it is fun. I like it.
I love that. Okay, let's move on to Ask Choi. Ask Choi. Everybody, please remember that we are not professionals. We are just offering any kind of discussion, so it would be able to help you figure out maybe which direction you want to go in. It is by no way us telling you how to solve your problems. Okay, well, with that said, let's get on to the letters. Thanks. Okay. Dear Christine, me and my boyfriend have been together for the last 2 years. We met each other's families last year and we get along fine, but my family won't budge on family holidays. I don't want his family to think that I don't like spending time with them, but also don't want to hurt my family's feelings. What should I do?
Ooh, that's a tough one, mm-hmm. honestly. And I think that this comes with a lot of couples and their situations, especially couples who are really close with their families. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to budge on like either side. But when it comes down to it, if you want to spend this life with this person and this person means that much to you, you guys can make it work. You guys can do, you know, certain holidays with one family and certain holidays with another. I think that that depends on like the level of relationship that you're at.
Right.
If you don't feel like you're at that level of relationship, then 100% I do not think that you should sacrifice anything. I think that you should stick to your family and do what you want to do. But if you're at that level, I definitely think that that is something that both sides need to sacrifice. And that comes with communication, and that comes with being okay that you maybe might let your parents down or let someone else in your family down
yeah.
in one aspect, but you're making up for it in the other. Like they have to understand that,
yeah.
that you're making sacrifices to what is going to be your future family and
yeah.
your future life.
And you know, I mean, they've been together for 2 years and it almost seems like if her family just won't budge at all, it's kind of like, maybe your family can just invite the boyfriend's family. You guys
yeah.
have been together for 2 years. It's not like you just met.
Exactly. But it's like always about circumstance
yeah.
where the families live and like whatever.
Right.
So,
and like you said, if there's strong thoughts of marriage or spending the rest of their lives together type of a commitment happening, then I think that's a possibility. But of course, if they're still unsure themselves yet,
yes.
I guess that becomes really difficult. And that's where the family might kind of be like, no, your holiday's ours.
Yeah. I've been through that personally. My boyfriend's family has done a lot of holiday things, and so has my family, and we merged them, and it's been great so far. And also, we have also sacrificed things.
Yeah.
Like we have gone to certain family things on my side or on his side. I think that, yeah, the other side of the family was a little bit hurt, but at the same time, they understood it because
right.
they knew that this was growing towards
yeah.
something else. It wasn't just like a fling. It wasn't just like somebody that I'm just hooking up with or just like whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, this
yeah.
is like a serious person that like
yeah.
I would want
it's
in
true.
My family. Before my boyfriend now, I've had a lot of struggles with those sort of things because I never felt fully
yeah.
invested in it on my part. So I think that that definitely matters. So I definitely think if someone's asking that question, they need to reevaluate their relationship and where they're at in their relationship.
Ooh, that was really good. Well, yeah, you might as well be a professional. Gosh, that was a great advice. All right, so let's get started here. Let's go way back when to your childhood, family dynamic.
I had a good childhood, but, you know, my parents divorced when I was 6, and I didn't quite understand what divorce meant, I don't think, at that time. Both of my parents have gotten remarried. My dad remarried my stepmom when I was like 14,
okay.
and I love my stepmom.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
And she was in our life before that, probably like around when I was 9.
Okay.
My mom went through some shit. Like she made bad decisions. She got in relationships with kind of like bad people.
Mm.
And my mom was actually who I live with.
Okay.
That definitely like affected my life
yeah.
because I was very, very close with my mom and the relationships that my mom had in and out and just toxic relationships, and she married somebody who was just a terrible person, and it just definitely affected me.
Yeah.
When pretty much most of my high school, I lived with my mom, and she got married to this guy who had a couple of kids of their own, and they would just get drunk all the time and kind of leave us to fend for themselves. But like at the same time, they treated these two children differently than they treated me.
Okay.
They were a few years younger than me. One of them was 6 years younger than me. The other one was 8 years younger than me or something like that. Like, okay. It was a huge difference because I was like a teenager. I was like 16, 17.
Yeah. Okay.
And they totally treated us differently. Like, those were their children and I was the black sheep.
Okay.
And so that affected me a lot.
And was your brother already pretty much out on his own by that time, or?
Well, yeah, at that time. So my brother's 3 years older than me. When my mom started dating this guy, they kicked out my brother.
Okay. Wow.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that my brother was a saint, because he wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was kind of a troubled kid, but I definitely think that my mom and her husband were harsh on him, and they kicked him out, and then he lived with my dad.
Okay.
And I actually ended up moving in with my dad end of my high school time. So senior year, I lived with my dad.
Okay.
Because I left that environment.
Yeah.
Because I just couldn't handle it anymore.
So was that just kind of like you felt not loved?
You know, I hate to like talk shit on my mom, because I do love my mom. And I think at this time, things have been forgiven and everything like that. But like, at that point in my life, my mom wasn't my mom. Mm-hmm. She only cared about her husband, and she didn't give a shit about me. And she would leave me at soccer practice, and I would have to walk home, or I'd have to go home with a friend, or like, I spent a lot of times at my best friend's mm-hmm. houses. Let's just say that, because I didn't want to go home.
Yeah.
You know, because my mom was, I'm not going to say she's a bad person, but she was not a good person to be around,
right.
Especially like with her husband, and they were mean to me, kind of.
Yeah.
They weren't really welcoming, and I was like still a kid, you know?
Yeah, in your formative years.
Yeah, that hurt me a lot. Luckily, I had the support from my dad and my stepmom, and they were great to me, you know? Like, when I moved with them, like, everything as a teenager was awesome.
Yeah.
It was just like a different environment. I was an athlete when I was younger. And so as an athlete, I need to eat at certain times. Like, I have practice at certain times. There are certain things that go on. And my mom never cared about those things.
Yeah.
My mom never came to games.
Yeah.
Like, my mom never did any of those things. My dad always did.
Yeah. So what about your friends and just kind of your teenage years, adolescence, or your young adulthood? What kept your head straight?
With that shit with my mom, like, I don't think I honestly realized how much it fucked in my head until later on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is kind of normal, and I'm ashamed of it, or I'm embarrassed of it. And so I'm going to just hide that from my friends or from reality or whatever. I'm definitely like, I can be a serious person, but I try to make light of a lot of situations.
Yeah.
And I think that's because of that, because it's like, I always try to make light of the situation that was going on in my house. My two best friends, it was never like a question why I was always there. So it just never was something that was really addressed.
Yeah.
It honestly helped me a lot.
Yeah.
Those people who like stuck by me during those hard times helped me so much. I couldn't even express how grateful I am for them. I don't think I would have been able to do it without those couple close friends.
Yeah. When do you think you figured out the effects your childhood had on you?
I really don't think it was until I was probably in college.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought in high school, this is the normal thing. This is what happens, even if it wasn't normal.
Mm-hmm.
Having my mom drunk, picking me up from practice, that was a normal thing to me.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it really had the effect on me until college.
Yeah.
My mom moved away when I was 18, right when I was going to college. And I think that's when I realized, like, you really don't give a shit about me or anyone in our family. Like, you're selfish. Almost like a realization to me. I honestly held a grudge against my mom for like a really long time.
Yeah.
And through my college, my mom still had a drinking problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't like hard for me to hold a grudge, because I was like, well, she's just getting drunk all the time.
Yeah.
So it's not like it matters to her, you know?
Right.
I remember some people in my family telling me that I was being hard on my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how are you going to tell me I'm hard on her when like what she put me through? I'm only reacting to her actions. Right. That was my stance for a really, really long time. Mm-hmm. As I've grown older, my mom and I now are close and we're cool. And we don't see each other very often because she lives in Texas, but I have forgiven her for those
things. She's come around, right?
Yeah. And she's realized what she did to the relationships that she had and to her children.
Mm-hmm. Is she still with the guy?
No.
Okay.
If she was still with that guy, I don't think that we'd be talking.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, she moved across the country for him.
They moved to Texas together?
When I was 18, they moved to Ohio because he had a job opportunity. And then she didn't have job opportunities.
Yeah.
And he left her basically because she couldn't find work.
Wow.
It was fucked up. And she bought the house in Ohio. It took her a while to actually serve him.
Oh, yeah.
I fully think that my mom was fucked over. And that's probably where the process of forgiving her has come in. Because I feel bad for her. I think that some things happened to her and she was vulnerable and naive.
Yeah.
And that's why I've forgiven her. There was probably like a good 5 or 6 years that me and my mom didn't really talk.
Yeah.
I was too hurt to face all of that. And she, I think, was too ashamed to face all of that.
Yeah.
But now, like, my mom and I are good. We talk.
It's good.
She's actually coming to visit me in a couple weeks.
Yay.
So, and I haven't seen her in, like, 3 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's exciting. How do you think your relationship with your mom and just your childhood overall has affected you and your other relationships, rather be friendships or with significant others?
I think that I understand people a little bit more. Like, I'm not as judgy as I was maybe at one time. At the same time, I'm cautious, you know? Like, I have had a lot of my friends for a long time. I haven't made a ton of new friends in the last few years. Trust to me is really, really important. And like trusting your word and what you say you're going to do is important to me. Mm-hmm. And so I think that affects my relationships. If you say you're going to do something, then you should do it.
Right.
I felt like I didn't get that a lot from my mom.
Right.
And so that's why I feel so strongly about that.
Yeah. Which I think is a good thing in the end, right? Because, I mean, like they say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah.
And that's a great example of that, because what you didn't get from your mom ended up being something that you require from true friends, because those things are important.
Yeah.
Follow through is such an important thing in friendship.
I think that's the most important in friendships.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you need to show up for everything. I understand that people make mistakes.
Yeah.
At the same time, if that's a true friend, if that's someone you truly care about, that's a family member, that's someone important to you, then you'll show up. That's what I think.
Yeah. Let's talk about where you have been after college.
After college, I was an assistant for somebody because I was the foot in the door. After that, I became a sales operations specialist and I went into marketing and I did a lot of stuff in the corporate world. I moved to Utah for a job. The stars kind of aligned.
Right.
And as you know, like basically why I came back to California is because I was laid off from the job that I moved to Utah for.
Yeah.
And so I was a little bit upset, but it was a good experience going out there and I'm happy that I did that.
Yeah.
Right now, like I'm a freelancer and I love it. I can make my own schedule. I can do what I want. Struggling to get work is a total thing that happens for freelancers.
Right.
Like, I'm not trying to sit here and say it's the easiest job ever.
Yeah.
Because it's not. Because you have to hustle. You have to grind. But for me, like, the whole corporate 9-to-5, driving fucking hours to go to some place that I wasn't really happy with wasn't worth it to me. And that's kind of why when I got laid off and I moved back, that was the decision I made. The support that I had from my friends, my family, and especially my boyfriend, I was able to pursue this whole like consulting freelance thing. I mean, it's been great for me. I've met a lot of new people.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of new things. I've challenged myself a lot that I never thought that I would ever be challenged in. And I don't think that in a corporate world that I would have been. yeah, I mean, it's really opened my eyes to so many things and like, and embrace myself like personally. Mm-hmm. I think that the whole like work-life balance is super important. Sometimes I felt like when I was working for that corporate world, I didn't have that balance because I couldn't, because I was working all the time.
Yeah.
And I was expected to work all the time. And I think that's kind of fucked up. People need their time for themselves and need their time for their families or their relationships.
Yeah.
When I got laid off, I was pissed, but it ultimately opened up doors for me that I didn't know were even possible.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for that.
Good. So in your freelance position that you do right now, what are you doing?
So I focus mostly on photography. Photography has always been a passion of mine. And when I got this opportunity, I kind of wanted to embrace that. But marketing has always been my background. So I started off as consulting for marketing. And I did that for about a year. And as my photography business like built up, basically. And so now I'm at the point that I'm taking mostly photography clients, some marketing, because that's where my experience lies. But I'm trying to go in more like the photography way.
What was the light bulb moment for you when you decided that you're going to follow your passion of photography? You weren't really doing photography as a job.
No.
When you first moved out to California, you were solely doing marketing as a freelancer.
So when I did marketing and everything like that, I worked with a lot of photographers and I did a lot of the creative stuff. And that was always my favorite time that I spent in my job. All the data and all that stuff, that was never something that I was super passionate about. It was all the creative stuff.
Yeah.
And so when I got laid off from my job and it was just like a decision I had to make, I just kind of went with it.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for my boyfriend, who's my boyfriend at the time, to support me in that way. To say like, I really see this talent and this passion in you. And I think that you should do this. If it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't be where I'm at. Like there's been so many times that I have questioned myself and I'm like, oh, I should just go back into quote unquote regular job or 9-to-5 job. Like I should just do that. And my boyfriend has really been like a really good support system and pushing me to challenge myself and to do the things that I like passionately want to do.
Yeah.
And ultimately that makes my product better. That makes me better.
Yeah. So you two moved to LA from San Jose because of your boyfriend's job.
Yeah.
And you basically are now having to kind of start over in LA without the connections that you had in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And what's that process been like and what are the struggles in that?
I mean, it's been hard. I mean, relying heavily on referrals was one thing that I did. It's different. How I've dealt with it is basically putting myself out there as much as I possibly can, putting my name out there of like models I want to shoot or like free photo shoots I want to do to kind of like network, joining networking groups of photographers or marketers. All I have to say is when you move to a new place, like you're going to have to start over and you have to make that sacrifice. I think for me, it was worth it because for the opportunity that my boyfriend had, it was a really good opportunity for him. And so when you compare our career lives, like it made more sense for me to move down here. I'm super happy about the move. I love this place. But yeah, I'm going to have to grind and I'm going to have to hustle. And I've had to do more things to put my name out there.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That is in a way a good thing.
Yeah.
Challenging myself has been a lot for me as a person. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for that.
Good. I'm grateful for it too. If you don't mind this kind of taking a back step for a second, I want to talk about Mike.
Okay.
I love you guys together. Mm-hmm. Tell me what kind of led you to him. And you guys have known each other a long time and it's a fun story. And there's a lot that goes into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a weird story. I mean, we've known each other since we were in middle school.
So cute.
So we're 12. And he was actually like in love with my best friend. So all through middle school and like a little bit of high school, like he loved my best friend. And I was always the friend to her, like, oh my God, why do you like Mike? Like, he's so cute. But whatever. And then, you know, she was never into him. That never happened. Years go by and like, we're still friends and we were always friends. But after we graduated from college, we kind of connected again. I was really good friends with one of his roommates. So that's kind of how we connected. We hung out all the time. And I mean, like, I would never, you know, admit this, but I'm going to admit it now. But I was so into him. Oh. And he was not into me.
No.
Like, our friend like was like, Lisa, he's not that into you.
Oh,
like,
man.
You should move on. Like, okay. So we kind of like dated, but like, apparently he wasn't that into me. So we broke up. And, you know, we went our separate ways for like a couple years. And then I moved to Utah. And when I moved to Utah, I didn't talk to like a ton of people. I talked to people who I was super close with, but like Mike was always one of those people that I was cool with, but not somebody I'm like going to call on the phone.
Right.
So two of our best friends got married and we saw each other at that wedding. And it was like, we saw each other and it was like an instant connection.
Aww.
We haven't seen each other in 3 years. Like, we haven't really talked. We've kind of talked like maybe through text message a couple times, yeah, but not really. And we saw each other. And I mean, how I imagine it, it felt like the whole entire world stopped around me.
Aww.
When I saw him, because it was so weird. And it was so weird. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, it was. And so the wedding happened. And then like the whole night at the wedding, we basically spent the whole night like talking to each other,
aww,
talking about whatever, past things, new things, like what we're doing in our lives. And at this time, I lived in Utah and everything. And, you know, we went our separate ways. And a couple weeks later, he was coming to Utah for work.
Oh.
And so it just kind of happened. And I mean, aww, I'm just going to be totally honest. I was dating somebody at this time.
Yeah.
So I broke up with that person.
Wow.
Because I felt so strongly,
yeah,
for Mike. And I knew that whatever was happening with this person in Utah was like not,
right,
the thing. I came home from the wedding and I broke up with this person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he came out a few weeks later. And I think what we were missing before was like probably maturity, just like the time that we were at, like 4 years earlier when we kind of like dated, we didn't know where we were going. We didn't know what we were doing.
Right.
We didn't know where our career passed. And I think that that was the most important to us at that time. And then when we saw each other, it was more like, I don't care what like anyone thinks, anything that is involved in my life. All I know is that I want to be with this person.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like the connection that we had with each other. Cause we decided when he came out, we decided that we were going to be together. And I wasn't laid off from my job in Utah yet at this time.
Okay.
So we were like planning on having a long distance relationship because I was like, I can't not have you in my life, basically. Aww. And then 2 weeks later, I got laid off from my job.
Oh, it was then.
And so it was, to me, it was a little bit of like the universe telling me, you, yeah, need to be like close to this person.
Yeah.
And so me coming back, and that's what really brought Mike and I like super close. I moved in with him immediately.
Oh, wow.
So we've only, okay, been together for 3 weeks pretty much at this time.
Wow.
And I know people think that's like maybe crazy, but we've known each other for so long and it just, right, 100% felt right.
Obviously, you guys have a history kind of going back and forth and you guys had dated a few years prior to having this connection. But what do you think is so different about this one that just like makes sense for you? And how do you think, you know, you guys make each other better?
Well, I think it's because we're always like seeking for the best person of ourselves. Like, I think both of us separately, like, are trying to better ourselves, which I think is super important in any life or relationship or anything like that. But at the same time, like, we communicate that with each other. What drew me to him was the fact that, like, he treated me differently than any guy has ever treated me. And he was responsive and he cared about what I said and he acknowledged what I said as a person. And, yeah, like, you feel that with somebody like the respect that you have for that person is so great. Even if you have different opinions or anything, it's just like you could feel the respect from that person that like means a lot. Mm-hmm. And to me, that like meant a lot. Like regardless, like Mike and I are very different from each other, but we have the same communication levels and respect levels for each other. And that to me makes so much more sense than like, oh, you have a bunch in common. Oh, you both like sports, or oh, you both are funny.
Yeah.
Like the respect that you have for the person to me means the most.
Yeah.
Meaning like you don't want to hurt that person in any way. And like every thought or action that you have maybe in life, like you take that person into consideration, you know? And I think that that's like important for relationships.
Yeah. And I kind of want to tie together what you kind of talk about your job and your current relationship, even with the struggles that you have right now starting over kind of in your new location. You're happy in it, as well as in your relationship, you're really happy in it. And how do you think, just kind of the way you grew up, how do you think that all kind of tied into being able to enjoy the things you have? Because I can name people who are kind of in similar situations as you, doing similar things as you, who can go on and on about why they're unhappy because they're struggling, right?
That's actually a really good question. And that's like a really hard question to answer. And I think that people totally handle things differently than other people, and things affect people differently. I have always been somebody that has really been, in a way, like ashamed, or like I've hidden a lot of my feelings. Mm-hmm. And that's like something that I have done because of whatever reason, because of my mom, because of how I grew up. It just has always been something that I did. And I'm not saying that this is a way to do it. That's like the opposite way to fucking do it.
Yeah.
I just think that I kind of got to a point that like I just let go of all of that. And I let go of all that resentment and all that like hiding and all of that like struggle that I had. And that was like super hard for me. I'm just saying that like I had to, for myself, to know that I would be a happier person, I had to do that.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't do that, I would be miserable and I would be resentful and I would be like unhappy. But I can talk about things that happened to me that totally affected how I think these days. And like they totally fucked my life. And I do think that they're legitimate things. But at the same time, do I want to keep thinking about those things?
Right.
Do I want to keep dwelling about those things? No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. Because those things were super painful for me and those things were super hard for me.
Yeah.
So when I think about what I want the rest of my life to be, because I'm 30 years old and I'm going to live for the next 30, 40, 50, 60, whoever fucking long,
right?
Like, oh, do I want to keep thinking about these terrible things that happened to me,
right,
or why I struggled? No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's advice or anything like that. But for me, it's more just, how do I want to live the rest of my life?
Yeah.
How do I want to have my kids or my friends or my friends' kids or anyone, my grandparents, my parents, what, anyone look at me?
Right.
Like, how do I want them to think of me? Do I want them to think of me as somebody who is resentful and angry about shit that happened to me?
Yeah.
Or do I want them to think of me as like the person I am, the happy person that I am, and I appreciate life and all of the friendships and relationships that I have around me, and I'm so grateful for them and the opportunities that I have.
Oh, that's great.
Like, how do I want them to think about me? Like, I would never say to anybody like the things that happened to them in their childhood was bullshit.
Yeah.
Or like, you shouldn't dwell on that, because I understand that that's super hard.
Yeah.
But I just more look at the situation as like, how do I want to look at myself? What's future Lisa thinking?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's future Lisa wanting? What's like, those are more important to me than what's past Lisa thinking and what's past Lisa feeling.
Yeah.
Because that's not like, that's just going to weigh me down.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
I love that. I keep saying I love that, but I really do. It's like when you kind of tune it out and just, you know, pretend like you're over it, it's so easy to just be strong and be fine. But once you have faced it and then let it go, I think that's when you truly rise above it, right? Because if you don't see it, how do you rise above it, right? You're just putting it behind you.
Oh, there's totally a difference of ignoring and letting go.
Yeah. And I feel like I, as well, have always been the one to kind of ignore stuff rather than to, or even when I admitted that's something happened to me, I would kind of brush it under the rug.
Yeah. And I think that's like a lot of people, especially people who are like us. Like, I think that we're both like strong women in like, you know, how we look at life and how we like face things and stuff like that. But like, that doesn't fucking mean that we have not had struggles. Like, it pisses me off that people are like, because you're like this, it means you've never been through this. It's like, you don't know what people have been through. Like, you don't know anything that people have been through. Right, the strongest person you know could have been through the worst thing that you could ever imagine.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. How do you feel as of right now today, physically, mentally, spiritually?
I mean, I always think that I need work on myself. I think for like a period of time, I was going down a wrong path and being like super negative, because that's kind of what happens with like being an entrepreneur and like, you honestly always doubt yourself.
Yeah.
And that has probably been a really big struggle, like one of the biggest struggles for me. But I think right now I feel great in where I'm at in life, in my relationships, in my friendships, in my family, and work, even though sometimes it's a struggle. I've kind of come out to discover that work isn't the most important thing to me. And having these strong connections with other people or with myself, like in being okay with myself, are more important to me. And so that's okay. I think that myself and other people, I don't know, like when something's hard, it seems unsolvable or like you can't fix it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that you can if you just like have a different mindset about it.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think was the biggest growth within yourself since when you were in your early 20s to now?
Probably commitment. I was very scared to like commit to a lot of things in my early 20s. Like a little bit of a player.
Oh, okay. Hey, girl.
Whatever, however you want to say that, which is like super funny because like, I just don't think I was ever ready to commit to something that like I wanted to give myself to. And maybe like what we talked about earlier, like maybe that had to do with the fact of my childhood. I trust my mom. I trusted like there's certain people I trusted that let me down. And maybe I felt that way.
Right.
I think commitment is probably like the biggest thing to me, like committing to not only relationships, but just projects and things that you say that you're going to do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on to some closing questions. What brings you the most joy right now?
That's hard, but I would probably say being on the coast.
Nice.
Having some fucking fresh air.
Yeah.
The overall happiness, that's probably what makes me the most happy right now. It's just like breathing in fucking fresh air.
I can only dream about that. So
sorry.
That's good. That's good. I'm super jealous. So to somebody out there who might have gone through what you've gone through or are going through what you've gone through, what would you say to them? And what are some advices you would give them to reach that happiness?
Honestly, I would say balance and making space for yourself. I think that that's super important. And I think that a lot of people forget about that because they're so wrapped up in their career or their relationship or whatever it is, or resentment or like anything. I think that making space for yourself and being able to really reflect on like how you feel as yourself. It doesn't matter what happened to you or what challenges you came upon. It's just more like, how do you feel about you? Like, do you feel good about you? Do you feel okay with the person that you are portraying to people, because to me, that's most important, because ultimately, like, how you are to other people will reflect on how life comes back to you.
Perfect. That was great. Okay, well, Liza, thank you so much for sharing all that with me today. And I can't say this enough every time I do an interview. It's really not common that you sit down with your friend for a length of time like this and really kind of talk about their past and present and future, you know, in one sitting. And it always never just ceases to amaze me how strong my friends are, really. And for you especially, I mean, I have always seen you as somebody who's really had it so together and just somebody who's so strong. I mean, you were kind of the first person that was close to me that really just did it and moved to somewhere and really just followed your heart in coming back as well and kind of starting your new thing. And I just have so much respect for that. And I am so excited to see where you end up and to be a part of your journey. Honestly, I am so honored to be one of your best friends. And I really can't wait to see the rest of our lives. So once again, thank you so much for being here with me today. And I love you.
I love you too. And I'm so proud of you on everything you're doing. I think it's awesome. You're really following what you believe and what you want to do. And that's awesome. I'm super proud of you.
Thanks, Liza. Well, all right. Well, I'll talk to you soon. Love you.
I love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so there's another episode of Choices Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. Once again, please don't forget to subscribe, rate and review, and email me any feedback as well as letters and voice memos to choicespodcast@gmail.com. Thank you again, and I will talk to you guys soon. Okay, thanks. Bye.